So one light, that picture, that image of life, that image of the world is one to hold in our highest mind and our highest consciousness as we come together now for this celebration of life and celebration of light. We recognize that that oneness is the core idea, that one light, that one truth, that one power is the core of what we're all about here at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. We are in the business now of living that and bringing that reality, that idea, that consciousness into reality of our everyday lives. The idea of oneness, the idea of peace, the idea of a better way of living more fully and freely as the amazing human spiritual beings that we are. So I welcome you. I welcome you to our celebration. I welcome you to our center. We are a welcoming place that honors all people. That's how we can sing about one light and talk about one light, because we recognize that in and as each and every human on the planet, there is one light shining through us. It's now known that your very mitochondria in your body is manufacturing light every day, every moment, every instant. So not only is it a metaphorical idea that we are the light, it is a hard reality of science that you are light. You are creating light just by breathing and being here, and so is everyone else. So we welcome you. We thank you. We're glad you're with us. Whoever you are, whatever your background, we welcome you. You are honored and recognized as a divine expression of the infinite. So thank you for being here and joining with us. So part of what we base our community here on is a declaration of principle, which comes from Ernest Holmes. He was the founder of the Science of Mind and is the founder of a big portion of the whole New Thought movement. So as we think of him and as we think of what we believe and who we are, this comes forth and comes forward in a very powerful way. And so we do this by what we believe. And what we believe is we declare as the truth for us and for others this, that we believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative. And how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the givingness of God to all. And so it is. So at this time, we always hear from one of our practitioners. That is a person here in the organization who is well-trained in helping you, well, themselves first, but also in helping each of us to expand and grow into a greater expression of ourselves, into a greater knowledge of who and what we are, where we may find ourselves stumbling around with some of these ideas. A practitioner can really help us find a deeper understanding, not just in our heads, but in our bodies and our hearts and our everyday experiences. So today we have one of our practitioner leaders who's sharing with us, wonderful Judy Ailey.
Am I muted? Oh, I'm not. I just wanted to say in the chat that Dr. Bob asked me a question, and when I responded, it went to everybody. So just disregard that. Sorry. So today our theme is preparing the way, and the theme for the month is celebrating divine truth. You know, this time of year really suggests to me that it is a time of inner quiet reflection. You know, the days are getting shorter, the nights are longer. You know, in fact, we're getting very close to the winter solstice, just a week or so away, a little bit longer than a week away, the longest night of the year. during this time of year, I find myself focusing more inward. I feel like I'm always pretty focused inward, but even more so than usual. I find myself being drawn to being quiet and meditating, and I find myself taking stock of the past year and looking at what kind of intentions I want to set forth for the new year, for the newness, the rebirth that is to come. And, you know, it's been quite an unusual year. So many things have shifted, and it might seem all so negative. But today, I choose to look at what has been good and positive during this past year. For one thing, a lot of the distractions have just evaporated. I have a lot more time for my own inner work and my spiritual practice. So that's a good thing. I also think that it's made me realize that some of the things that I had in my life that were going on that are no longer there, maybe they weren't really necessary anyway. The other thing that I think about is that as a result of what's going on in the world right now, that the world in some ways has closed down, but in another way, it's opened up in virtual experience. Just the fact that we are meeting this morning with individuals from all over our country and perhaps even the globe, that's something that didn't happen before. I can choose to participate in events from all over the world. You know, just this week, I participated in a talk that the Dalai Lama did, and it came from India. That's not something I would have looked for before or had the opportunity to do. So there are opportunities for engagement with like-minded people all over the globe. They're out there. We just have to do a little bit of searching and have a little bit of openness and find those things that really resonate with us, and then we can connect. So for me, preparing the way is about taking inventory of ourselves, mindfully going within to take stock of what our experiences have been this past year, and setting intentions for the coming time. We take advantage of the cooler weather, the longer nights. We may be sleeping more or sleeping more deeply. We may find ourselves just taking more time to be quiet in our lives. Don't miss this opportunity to do this during this time of year. You know, as the days start getting longer after the winter solstice, spring will come. Some of you know that I have chickens in my backyard. And this time of year, my hens, they stop laying eggs. This happens around late October or early November. But as soon as it starts getting lighter, a little bit longer, like later in January or early in February, I'll start finding those eggs out there again. Those hens are so sensitive to the light. It's really all about the length of light. I don't think it has much to do with the cooler weather. It's really about the light. This cycle reminds me that life ever does renew itself and that spring will come. And the question is, what are our intentions for this newness of life that is coming? Are we taking the time to prepare? All right. Those are my thoughts on that. Sometimes I get really caught up in a certain part of the textbook, in a certain reading from Ernest Holmes. And there's a little paragraph that I want to read to you today. And to me, it really goes with the idea of celebrating divine truth. And what I like, and it's in the section about perfect physical health, but what I'd like to ask you to do is to go ahead and just, if you're comfortable where you are, just go ahead and close your eyes and take this reading as sort of the beginning of our treatment. And I'm going to go directly from this reading into spiritual mind treatment, but just absorb these powerful words. I find that I'm reading this every single day, really for the past couple of weeks, because it just keeps speaking to me. It's on page 256 in the textbook, if you like to go back and look at that. But just close your eyes and allow yourself to turn within and allow yourself to relax and know this as the truth. The glory of my thought makes me immune to negative experiences, even to negative suggestions. The very life of God vitalizes my every organ and tissue. I now have perfect and complete faith in God as my ever-present good. My faith fills me and elevates my entire being. As my thought relaxes, all the muscles of my body relax, and the life spirit flows through me, and my body responds perfectly to its healing activity, and every function of my body is now brought into perfect action. The infinite life within, with which is within me, is now healing me, making me whole after the pattern of an infinite and eternal perfection. And as I know these words to be my truth, I recognize and know that I am surrounded with, filled with, immersed in this presence, this energy of life, this energy field that is everywhere, and that this power and this presence and this energy field is a power for good, and that I can use this power in my life, that this power and presence is complete and total peace. It is endless love. It is opulence and abundance. It is the healing power and presence. It is the thing that makes my body whole and perfect and complete. It is endless creativity. It is fabulous new ideas and knowing. And as I know this about this presence, this power, this goodness, I know that it fills me, that it fills my being, that it is the truth of who I am, at the core of who I am. So I just allow myself to sink into this oneness and to know the truth of it, and to know that as I place my seeds of intention and of belief and expectation and faith in this presence, in this power, that I experience this love, this prosperity, this wholeness, this perfection, this goodness. I experience it in my life on this physical plane. I turn away from any idea that I am a victim of anything. I turn away from any idea that there is lack or limitation or struggle or strain. Instead, I embrace and know that I am whole, complete, and perfect, and that all is well, that all is well in my particular world, in my particular body, and my particular circumstances and situations. And I know that all is well in the world, that I bring this goodness, that I bring this presence of peace and love and healing to others that I connect with in the world. And I sense that heart connection and that oneness, knowing that all is really well and in perfect order, and that we are each right where we need to be. So it is with great thanksgiving that I release these words into the law, knowing that all of this comes back into my physical experience in my life. So I release these words now, knowing that they are so. And together we say, and so it is. All right. The special music today is called Illuminate, and it is performed by Sloan Wainwright. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
what you have to. With love, with hope, with love, with love, love. Oh, it's love, it's love. Ring out the old, bring in the new. Bless and release what you have to. With love,
illuminate your heart, illuminate your world. That's a wonderful, wonderful sentiment. I wonder, as you started your day today, what was your biggest concern? You know, we are living in a world of bombardment of all sorts of challenges and problems and negative ideas and beliefs in every kind of difficulty we could think of. They've been around with us for a long time, but it seems that lately the loudness with which it's coming forward into our ears and on into our experiences has increased and increased. And I'm wondering, what are your biggest concerns? What are the ones that really get you going or keep you up at night or wake you up early in the morning before you're ready, or that you find thinking yourself dropping into and thinking about on an all the time basis? I mean, it may be things like your health, maybe things like the economy. Some of us are having some struggles right now. Some of you are having some struggles right now with your financial world, given that that people are losing their jobs and the economic response to the shutdown that's gone on. For others, it's environment. Some of you who may be looking at things that are happening in the world and going, oh my gosh, what are we doing? So there's a whole lot of this kind of negative and really frightening kinds of things going on for people today, not only for individuals, but for our families, for our communities. And as we move into this darker time, this quieter time in the life cycle of the planet, we have more time to focus on that. And so our purpose today in this talk and in this time together is preparing the way. But and that idea is not just the idea of preparing things on the outside. I mean, you know, we've all got big Christmas dinners coming up, and I suspect you'll be doing a lot of preparation, getting ready for those. We have a lot of family trips coming and family gatherings, and you'll be preparing for those. And in the same way, we get to prepare for what's coming forward in our own consciousness, in our own lives. So preparing the way to what? Or through what? That was my question when I first saw this title. And these are themes that come from our national organization, so that the entire organization, those who choose to, are united in consciousness as we think about and explore these ideas. It isn't about so much about having the exact same talks or the exact same things being presented, but just that we're all focusing in our minds and our thoughts around the same things as we move through the year. And it's a rich and powerful process, and has been for me this year. So is it the way, preparing the way to, or the way through, or the way from? Think about what that might mean for you. And I think I like to think about, as with any journey, when you're focused on what's at the end, when you're focused on the goal, when you're focused on where you're getting to, even though you may enjoy the ride all the way, there's a real power in having that sense of where you're going. So I think the way that we're preparing for right now is the way toward something. And in some ways, it's a way toward the very same things we've been on the way to for a long time in this world. Preparing for that way of peace. For that moment of time where you're in a conversation, or you're in an experience with your family, or you're in an experience with other people, or you're quietly at home alone. And there is that moment where the peace that is natural, a part of the natural universe within you, can bubble to the surface. And you stop striving, and you stop trying to create something or make something happen or rush around and get these things done. And there's just a peaceful moment that settles. That's one of the ways that we're preparing for. And we're going to talk about the how-to of preparing for. Preparing for prosperity. You know, the old joke. Guy keeps praying to God, come on, God, I want to win the lottery. I want to win the lottery. I want to win the lottery. And finally, he hears a voice in his head that says, buy a ticket. You know, we can't have prosperity, experience prosperity, if we're not prepared to receive it as well as to give it and to let that flow go and move forward. So preparing the way for prosperity is about getting into prosperity and a consciousness of prosperity and flowing with it. Many people in the last 6 weeks have had a real increase in prosperity. And that's a rich, wonderful thing. Many have not. But prosperity is built into the universe, into this perfect, powerful universe. And it's built into our very life experience. And so we open our minds and our hearts and ourselves and prepare to receive as well as to give in that prosperity. Same is true for health. Preparing for health. Not from the standpoint of running away from anything, or trying to run away from death, or trying to run away from whatever we think the opposite of health is, but it's about preparing to receive and be participant in and healthy in. I found a wonderful new exercise this week. It's my kind of thing, because it's 4 minutes. 4 minutes. I like 4 minute exercises because I can do them, and I will do them, and I am doing them. And I found it on the internet, and it's just a short, quick thing to wake up your muscles and get the blood flowing and yourself moving. And it's a wonderful thing. And you know what? I feel so much better already. I sleep better. I do things just by taking 4 minutes, three times a day. I'm sorry, I don't have the link to share with you on here, but if you look up a doctor, Max Bush, you'll find this 4 minute video where he demonstrates this. And there are a lot of other people who are showing the same thing. The idea is that you get to participate. You're preparing the way for greater health. You're preparing the way for your muscles to grow and to find strength, as opposed to atrophy and get cold. Preparing the way for loving relationships. I can't tell you, over the many years that I've been a practitioner and been a minister in this teaching, the numbers of times when I have worked with someone who's wanting a better relationship and wanting more in a relationship, and yet a part of the conversation is about what's wrong with those people. That isn't preparing the way to receive and be in a positive, loving relationship. I think it's Irma Bombeck that wrote the book, Men Are Pigs and I Love Bacon. You know? So we got to prepare for and that preparing, if you may notice by my hands, is all about inside of us. Yeah, when you're cooking turkey dinner, you got to prepare for that on the outside. But this is preparing on the inside to receive and to participate in these wonderful things of health, wealth, love, and a creative expression. Preparing for the perfect job. Thinking about, what do I love to do? What would I do if I weren't even getting paid for it, but would still need to do it all the time? And then opening the way for you to earn through that. It's a rich, wonderful opportunity. and way of preparing. There's a slogan, kind of, certainly more than a slogan, that we use in this teaching all the time, where we say, there's a powerful good in the universe, greater than you are, and you can use it. And the second part, there's a powerful good in the universe greater than you are, and it can use you if you allow it to. And it does that to use you, and just as you use it, it uses you to achieve those things at the end of the way that are really powerfully important to you and that you want to see happen and come forward. And we do this in kind of two different ways. We prepare the way within each of us individually. Preparing the way for peace means taking the time to look at all that's going on around you and finding a deeper truth in it. Ernest Holmes said that part of what we do in this teaching is to look any discordant fact in the face until we know better. And the knowing better is knowing that there is a goodness behind it, that there is something better trying to come through. It's also about getting very clear that nothing is done to us, but always done for us, no matter how it may appear at any given moment. For us to know something better about ourselves, for us to know something better about the world, for us to have a greater connection with the truth of who we are. Because you see, all of those things we're talking about preparing the way to or for it are already present within you. It's in the very nature of the universe that you have peace within you. If you didn't have that, you would never sleep. You would never naturally find those places. It's naturally part of your world and your universe to be prosperous. We prosper in time. We prosper in people. We prosper in activities and opportunities. And sometimes we prosper in complaints. We have a great prosperity of those these days. You know, if you need some help with that, just watch more TV. You'll find yourself prospering very, very well in complaints. But that doesn't take you to peace. That takes you to more complaining. It doesn't take you to the relationships you're looking for. So what we do individually in ourselves is to really move in the direction of fully believing in, embodying, and accepting as truth those realities that are already part of us. We do that as a community as well, because we in Science of Mind have been saying now for a number of years, since Centers for Spiritual Living in particular, this particular manifestation of Science of Mind, that this is that we are working toward a world that works for everyone. Now, there's one sense in which you say it already is, and those who are so lost in their desperation and lack wherever it is, it's manifesting and showing up for them. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a world that works for everyone according to their highest and greatest possibility and good. And that's very different. Listen to what Ernest says. This is from the Living the Science of Mind, one of his wonderful kind of daily reader things. When a group of people come together with one accord, with one thought, get there where I can see it and see you at the same time. There it is. One accord and one thought, a greater power is generated. This is not because the creative principles respond to a number of people more than it does to you individually, but because the combined faith of a group reaches a higher level of consciousness. Since the explosion of the first atom, and the first atom bomb, I should say, we have read about how the possibility of a physical chain reaction that might destroy the whole of civilization. Well, if that's possible, then there's also this energy of faith, of affirmative prayer and spiritual meditation. There is no reason to doubt that in the field of spiritual consciousness, a chain reaction could be created, which would bless the whole world and bring about a similar kind of change. Now, first time I read this, I got some pushback in myself and other people for comparing the atomic bomb to whatever, but what is important to realize is in the very physical matter that's held together in your finger is enough energy and power to power all the electricity in the world, if we can just figure out how to capture it without you losing your finger. So that this whole reality we live in is a spiritual universe. It is a universe of great energy, and what appears to be physical is really so mostly empty space that we're just beginning to tap into what that really means and how to use it. That's how we can do the internet now, because we're realizing that there are things happening all across time and space that are so different than we used to think when we thought the physical world was the solid physical world before we discovered that it's really mostly empty space. It's ideas and particles held together as energy and information into what looks like a person. And yet this person is mostly not the person. Do you know you have more cells in your body that belong to other organisms than your own? And your body wouldn't work if you didn't have all that. You're a community. You're not an individual, even though you look like and sound like and feel like an individual. So our self-care and our health and all of that is dependent on our getting really clear that that's a way that we need to see differently how we live and the way we live. And sterilizing ourselves and everything else simply ends up in drawing away that life that's within us. So we prepare the way in community by standing together as we do in this community. We stand for every person's right to believe in themselves, their right to live and to love and to express themselves. Whether it's an agreement, I love this whole thing where we do in this teaching where we say, you know, we are like-minded people. Not the religious science folks I know, not the folks I know in this group. We have one thing in common in our like-mindedness, and that is a belief in oneness and a belief in the right of every individual to express their understanding of truth as it comes forward. But boy, when it comes forward, it's all over the place, you know, and that's good. It's as it should be. We're kind of like prisms. Little light prisms, where this one light of God, of spirit, of energy that's moving through and showing up as us and out into the world through us is white light. It's beautiful white light. It's beyond description. It's so amazing. And yet as it shines through us, it bursts into all of the different colors. And some of us are more red, and some of us are more purple, and some of us are showing more of this color or that color or the other color. Now, some of us are in such pain that there's not a lot of color coming through at all. But we can create the way, prepare the way to open that up by getting our bloated nonsense out of the way, as Emerson said, and allowing the divine circuits to flow. Our bloated nothingness is actually what he said. My version is bloated nonsense. Because anytime I'm believing in myself as a limitation, or believing what I cannot do, or believing what is being done to me against my will, any of that stuff. Now, there's no question that we've all had opportunities to experience someone doing something to us. I'm not suggesting that doesn't happen and it's not real. But on the level of truth, on the level of higher consciousness, there's a sense in a way in which that is providing something for us to move to a higher plane and a greater place. But when you're in the thick of the pain of it, you can't see that, nor should you be expected to. But when it heals, and as you move through it, it's preparing the way to something greater for you. Here's what another saying from Ernest that I find very meaningful. Are you seeing a screen for me? Wake up. Your word is all powerful. Your consciousness. Sorry, I'm having some technical difficulty here. Wake up. Your word is all powerful. Your consciousness is one with the omnipotence. You know what omnipotence is? It's all powerful. It's the stuff that flings planets into space, that creates universes, and that brings all of that power to focus for your benefit. So when you speak your word, it's all powerful. Your thought is infinite. You're not just thinking your individual thoughts. You're part of an infinite array of greater truth. Your destiny is eternal. You know, we used to say, I've said it before, you don't get out of this thing alive that we call life. Well, the truth is, we're already alive and out of it. And whenever you move on to your next transition to your experience, life still continues as you and in you and through you. So your destiny is eternal. Your home is everlasting heaven as a state of consciousness right here and right now. Realize the truth. I am living in a perfect universe. It always was perfect. It always will be perfect. And so it is. Now, here's the thing that's important. It's important to realize that there is a difference in when we're talking about the perfect universe and the world in which we live. Because the world in which we live is the array of all of those rainbow colors from all of us that have created our world of experience and place and time. And sometimes that ain't so perfect. Ain't a good word now, it's in the dictionary. Sometimes it's just not so perfect. There's a lot of pain. People are doing horrible things to one another. None of that I would call perfect. But I would say it is preparing the way toward a greater world in which we can resolve those kinds of differences as we learn to. And we'll find ways to do that as we move forward and as they are now up and in front for all of us to see. You know, in the modern world, you can't hide that kind of stuff like you could when I was young. In the 1950s, things went on all around you that you never knew about. But now it's going to be caught on camera by somebody somewhere. And we see it and we struggle. I think the world right now is struggling so with the differences that are showing up as if they're brand new. They're not. What's new is we see them and we know those differences. And now we get to prepare the way, to create the way and make the way to that, those differences becoming a place of peace. One of the things we've taught in this teaching from the beginning is the idea that that oneness does not mean sameness. It means celebrating the individuality of each one of us and the individual expressions and the individual knowledge. And so long as my celebrating my individuality is not any attempt in any way to limit yours, then greater good is being expressed. Hence, we have a wonderful community here of people with all kinds of political beliefs, all kinds of other beliefs about family and life and what to do, and all are welcome and accepted. Because we know that if there are differences, and if there is anything about those differences that is in conflict, there's a way through that, because this perfect universe within us will guide us and show us the way through that. Do I have something to point out to you and say, this is the way? No. Because each one of us have within us a wisdom to show us the way for us. And your way may be very different than mine. And it's all good. So there's a call to action in all of this. There's a call to spend more, as Judy talked about, a call to spend more time in meditation and thoughtfulness. Take the idea of there's a power for good in the universe and I can use it. And just sit with that for a while and think about it and see what ideas come up. Meditation or metaplation, as a friend of mine used to call it. It's a contemplation and meditation at the same time. And there are all kinds of meditation and there's a whole world of that. You can look it up online and see what all is there. There's a world of different ways to do it. We teach spiritual mind treatment here because we want to give you a different approach to how we think about things that starts in the greater truth of one power, one light, one perfect universe within us, and then moves outward into the things around us, rather than how most people think, which is what they see out there, and then they try to make sense of it in here. It's an inside job. We're talking about start on the inside and go that way. Spend time with treatment. If you don't know anything about it, Google it. You'll find a 1,000 different ideas on how to do treatment. We set intentions. Set your intention for peace. Set your intention for prosperity. You don't have to know how to do it. Just know what you want to do and what you want it to be. Set your intention for the kind of world you want to have, the kind of physical experiences of life you want to have. And then as you are doing that and those intentions are going through and you're meditating and you're thinking and you're perhaps doing treatment and or talking to a practitioner to help you with treatment, then when ideas come up to take action, you know you can trust them because they're coming from inside of you, not from what someone out there tells you you ought to do. And so when those action steps come up and you're being guided towards something, take action. That's the last step of any prayer, any affirmative prayer treatment is after the, and so it is, or amen, it's the action that you're called on to do. And sometimes we don't even know what that is for a long time to come after we do it, speak it. So you are preparing the way, whether you know it or not, whether you're being intentional or not, and you are fully equipped with everything you need or could ever need for whatever your way is pointing you to, your next phase of life, your next step, the new year, the current year, all of that. You have it within you, powerfully, richly, and wonderfully, because you are wonderful, just the way you are, you know? Warts and all. Those warts are part of the colors. They're part of what makes you unique and special. And you're wonderful. So am I. So it is. So if you'd like to join me a few moments for some quiet, some meditation. Just close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Go within. By go within, I mean turn away from what's on the outside and look inside your own mind, your own thoughts, your own heart. Take a good deep breath, breathing all the way down into your toes and let it go. And another. Just the act of doing that resets your physical self and sparks and enlivens the light that you are and the light that you are physically generating within your body. And allow your mind to drift away from the things around you, the sounds, the do list, the marketing list, the whatever happens to be there. Where are you going to go for lunch, or how are you going to stay home for lunch? And just let your mind go into that quiet place. Rumi says, there's a space beyond good and bad, right and wrong, and I will meet you there. We all have it. And as I go there, as I turn toward that space, I feel the very energy of life flowing through me. I feel my lungs being breathed. My heart is beating, sending communication and flow of life all through my body. And my whole body is participating in that, not just my heart. My heart's not strong enough to push all that blood throughout my body. But my body, in participation and with the heart, is allowing the flow to go through me and to me. And it's a short step from there into the deeper awareness that love is the same way. And this great energy that all of the universe is created of, from planets to rocks to bugs and people, is the energy of love. So I am participating with the flow of that love. Love for myself. Love for the people in my family. Love for my community. Love for all the people who agree with me. And love for all the people who don't. Love for the other sentient beings in this wonderful thing we call the world. Our animals, plants, food sources. All of that is created of the same stuff. How could I not love it? So I let this flow through me. I let this awareness of knowing this is who and what I truly am. I am an agent of that perfect universe. It is operating in me, not by any choice of mine, but simply because I am alive. And it is its nature to operate as each of us. It is natural. And I accept that with all of the beauty and power of it as it moves through me. I feel it. And I allow that feeling to broadcast out to anyone who is in a receptive mood to be loved or to experience more love. Love of my neighbors, love of the people around this community, love of people across the planet with whom I resonate in any way, shape, or form. And that love is the stuff. It is the way we are preparing, and it's already with us. It's all good, it's all God. I let it be true because I'm choosing it to be true for me. And so it is. Okay, another good deep breath. Welcome to this wonderful world we live in. So if you're loving what you're experiencing here, if you're finding great good in it, know that we will be here and we'll continue to be here every Sunday and on other times during the week. And we invite you to augment and support your prosperity by enjoying the flow, by giving to something that is already bringing you great good. We offer this opportunity as a spiritual practice. It's a part of our practice that we are a receiving community as well as a giving community. So we're open to receiving. It's the end of the year. Many of you will be enjoying that receptivity and will be enjoying the fact that in the last 6 weeks, there's been a lot of abundance generated in this country. And we invite you to keep that flow going by participating with us in your abundance. This is our prosperity affirmation that we do most weeks. And is certainly a part of our consciousness, our daily practice. And that is that I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. There are lots of ways to donate to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. You see, thank you, Cynthia, for putting it in the chat. You saw it there. You can go to our website, cslmidtown.org, and there are lots of ways there that are laid out for how you can do that. We welcome it. We thank you. And if for any reason you're in a challenging situation right now and cannot, then just accept this and receive it as your good, because that's what matters. So I'd like to now introduce you to Maya Fuller. She is one of our practitioners and is the leader of the wonderful meeting that happens at 10 o'clock every week, where a group of wonderful adults here get together and talk about this teaching. And she's going to share that, and then we'll have a couple of more announcements and begin to wrap up. Maya, take it away.
Good morning, everyone. Am I having feedback here?
Mm-mm. No, you're good.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay. So thank you, Dr. Bob, for inviting me to share about our fabulous Sunday morning discussion group. I am a bit biased, I admit, and it's because in the discussion group is where I first found and continue to experience meaningful contact with other members of our CSL Midtown family. So I'm going to just tell a little bit about my story just because I feel like it's meaningful in terms of why I am a big proponent of the discussion group. So many of you know that I joined the center a couple of years ago when I moved to Atlanta from South Florida. I was a practitioner already, yes, but don't. So like most people, I came and in the Sunday services, it's time for receiving and reflecting upon what we're hearing, as you know. As some of you also now know about, a thinker, I am a lover of science of mind principles, a user, a practitioner of science of mind principles, and my favorite topic of all time to talk about are the principles and practices of science of mind. So when I found out that there was a discussion group being held every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. right before the service, I jumped at the opportunity to participate. I was just very happy to be in the welcoming presence of like-minded people, to talk about the principles and how we apply them, how we practically use them to live healthier, happier, more prosperous lives. It didn't matter to me what they were reading. In fact, for the first 2 years, I was kind of just visiting center because I lived out of the country and I didn't even have a book. So although starting in 2021, we will be using this book, The Science of Mind, the 365 Science of Mind, as a basis for our discussion points, I know firsthand that pre-reading is not a requirement for participation. This is a discussion group. And I think it's okay because I've heard people say, oh, I haven't read or I can't commit to reading the assignments, so the group isn't for me. So I just reiterate as the current discussion facilitator that that is not at all the case. We have a wonderfully enlightened group of fellow students and practitioners, particularly spirits who first welcomed me. I cannot tell, as the discussion facilitator, I can't even tell who has read, and it doesn't even matter who. This is a discussion group, not a homework assignment group. So I just wanted to come here and personally invite you to hopefully have the kind of experience that I have had, where I get a double blessing of upliftment and deeper understanding on Sundays by attending both the discussion group and the service. Maybe you have a similar experience being happy to have more meaningful connections with other members of our center as well. So please visit 15 or 10, 20. Come, discuss, or just listen. Read beforehand if you want to, or just join the discussion. Either way, we'll be happy to have you. I'll put the link to the book in the discussion. In the discussion box, chat box, and discussion.
Okay, thank you, Maya, very much. As you can tell, she's enthusiastic about that, and everyone I know who participates in that is as well. A couple of things I wanted to say. These are our usual announcements, and they're on the screen. I trust you can read them. But I want to say a thing or two about next Sunday. It's the 20th. Next weekend, Sunday and Monday, everyone in the Northern Hemisphere is going to have the same experience. whether we are the same event happening. Our experience of it may be different, but we will have this the same thing going on. And that is the solstice, the longest night and the shortest day. And it is that energy of that whole weekend, that whole time period, out of which that has generated so many major holidays and so many major things that happen. So next Sunday morning for our regular celebration, as you see, our theme is cultivating light, and we will also be honoring the solstice. So the schedule will be, the style of the service will be a little different. The content will definitely be different. And we're going to probably take about an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 15 minutes to do the service, because there's a whole lot we want to pack into that time. So come prepared, be part of as much of it or as little of it as you choose, and or watch it on Facebook. We'll be able to carry it there as well. So I invite you to consider that. The following week, the last Sunday of the year, Reverend Cynthia will be leading us, and it will be a rich and wonderful experience as well. So I think she's got some important questions for you, and we'll give you an opportunity to sit with those, maybe even answer some. So I want to give a special thanks to the practitioners who are really the core spiritual leaders of this organization, of this community. Thank you for all of your prayer work, all of your work for us that you do all the time. If you have an individual need for that kind of work, please don't hesitate to contact a practitioner. A big thank you to our board of trustees, because they work with me, or I work with them. We all work together to keep the this center viable and sustainable, and to handle all of the prosperity of the prosperous monies moving through us in the most responsible and clear and transparent way. So that's just a part of what they do, but that's a big part. So thank you very much for that. And I invite you then to be with us according to what works. We always close with this affirmation. I love it, and I am going to read it out loud and invite you to do so. Since we're mostly all muted, you can be as loud and noisy with it as you want, but read it like you mean it. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I want to read that one again because I want you to get it. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you so much for being with us today.